Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. I have not put my microphone on yet. So apologize for that. Normally, I'm already ready, but I've been gone for about a week, so I'm out of the groove a little bit, I guess. You can go ahead and open your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7. We're going to start with one verse there in Ezra 7 this morning. It's really good to see you all again. We have some guests with us as well. We're thankful for your presence this morning. We hope that you have found this worship to be edifying for you and glorifying to God. That's our purpose here, gathering as a body of Christians here in Gettysburg, to glorify God first and to build up his body. And so that's what we try to do as a group here. And I hope that you found that this morning. We started talking about this idea quite a while ago in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7 to have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, but rather to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness. And we talked about how that's really kind of what Christians are supposed to do in this life, to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And there are a lot of different ways that that happens. We haven't talked about very many of them yet, but this morning I want to focus on Bible intake, or Bible study, as we refer to it a lot of the time. But before we do that, I want to ask you all a question. Do you have a hobby? Does everybody in here kind of have a hobby? I hope that you do. It's something that you do, that you spend your time doing, that you really enjoy doing, and you just do it because you like it. Whether that's quilting or fishing or playing an instrument or playing a sport or something like that, it's just something that you enjoy doing, that you give your time to, and maybe other people don't know why you give your time to it, but you know why that you give your time to it, because you enjoy it. Well, all hobbies, regardless of what you do, they really have two common factors with hobbies. The first is they take our time. It takes time to do a hobby. And the second is there's always a more efficient way to accomplish the end goal of that hobby. You get the end goal, but there are so many easier ways to do that. Fishing, for example. What does fishing accomplish? You catch a fish. Well, you could go to Giant down the road and get a fish. You don't have to fish for it, but you still enjoy that hobby. And why is it that people like hobbies? It's because people enjoy the process. They enjoy the work that goes into that. It's not about the end goal. It's about the process and having joy in doing that. And I want to keep that in mind this morning as we're going through talking about Bible study, especially here at the beginning of the year. A lot of people at the beginning of the year, Christians specifically, are thinking about studying the Bible more. When we get 2 days from now, our year is going to start over again, and we're going to have these New Year's resolutions to maybe go get fit or to go and eat healthier or to read our Bibles more. And so I think it's kind of timely for us to talk about this idea of Bible study, what it actually is, keeping in mind that principle of hobbies and really enjoying the process. When you think in the Bible of people who received commendations from God, you think about some people like maybe Abraham, or Noah, or Moses, or Paul. The people who were thought of highly by God, who were kind of respected by God and given a title. Someone who walked with God, someone who had great faith towards God. But one that I want to point out specifically in starting our discussion this morning is Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7, in verse 10, it says, "For Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." That's a great commendation to have. That's something said about Ezra like that. And that's something that all Christians really kind of should strive for. To be described like that. A person who seeks to know the law of the Lord and to teach it and to do it. Those are great things for us to be able to say for ourselves. And so let's keep that in mind as we go through this idea of Bible study and Bible intake. Just to lay a quick roadmap of where we're going to go, we're going to talk about really four different things. We're going to talk about reasons why we need to study, which some of them are pretty obvious, but we're going to say them anyway. We're going to talk about different types of study. We're going to look at how to be diligent in study and why we need to be diligent in our study, and then kind of round it all up with maybe some quick practical tips to help us get better at studying our Bibles, especially in this upcoming year. So let's jump into it. Reasons why we study. Why do we study the Word of God? Well, It's pretty obvious first, I think, because God wants his word studied. And he's pretty explicit about that in the Bible and in both testaments of the Bible. You find a lot of statements in the Old Testament that you shall not turn from the right hand or to the right or to the left from what you're studying. That's said in Deuteronomy chapter 5 in verse 32 by Moses to the Israelites, that he gives this law, the retelling of the law to the Israelites. And he says, don't turn to the right hand or the left. And that said about Josiah, the king, in 2 Kings chapter 22 in verse 2, that he set his heart to seek the Lord, and that he followed David in the footsteps of David, his father, and he didn't turn from the right or to the left. God is explicit that this is my law, and you need to know it, you need to learn it, and don't do anything else. This is what you need to do, and he says that in the law. But it's really interesting to me, this idea in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, there's an interesting picture of what God requires of Ezekiel. In verse 1, he says, he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. And so I, Ezekiel, opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with them and speak to them my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. This idea of eating the scroll, eating the word of God and digesting it and making it a part of yourself. That's what God expected of Ezekiel, what he expects of his people, to know the word, to make it a part of you. Whenever you eat food, it's interesting, the actual science behind eating something. It goes into your stomach and it's absorbed by your body. That's what the word of God needs to be for us. It goes into us and it's absorbed. It becomes a part of us. And that's what happened for Ezekiel. And that same imagery goes into the New Testament. In Revelation, John almost kind of takes the same idea of eating a book, eating the word of God, and it absorbing into him. But other places in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, this is a very familiar passage to a lot of us. But the Apostle Paul brings up the things that we need to spend our time thinking about. And so he says in Ephesians 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. I'll tell you right now that there's nothing else in the world that contains more honor, more truth, more nobility, more things worthy of praise than the Bible. There's nothing else on earth that has all of those things. And so dwell on those things. Think about those things. Make them a part of your life. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce even to the bone and the marrow and make divisions of the spirit. It knows the thoughts and intentions of man. You may have heard the phrase before that when we study the Bible, what's happening is the Bible is actually studying you. And I think that's fascinating. The Bible is not like any other book in the world. What the Holy Spirit does through the Bible is while we're discerning the thoughts of God, the Spirit is discerning our thoughts through his word. It shows us who we are. It shows us what we're supposed to do. It shows us who God is. There's no other book that's like that. And it's a powerful source to know the will of God, to know how we are supposed to live our lives. And that's what the Bible is. God wants his word studied. But that's a huge commitment, isn't it? To study the Bible. Because we get that. We all know that. We've all probably heard things like that, that it's good and pure and right. But in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of hard. Compared to other books, the Bible is really very small. It seems kind of large at first, but it's really not a big book. It's possible to read it fairly quickly through the book. But a book that has that many implications, that has that many purposes, that has that many principles, it's a difficult thing to read. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of commitment. And that's why people spend their entire lives devoted to reading the will of God, to learning from the will of God. In Psalm 119, this psalm, we're going to refer back to this psalm later on this morning, but I want to just point out one quick passage here. Psalm 119 in verse 9. The psalmist says, how can the young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This idea of meditating, of sitting in the word, of reading it, understanding it, thinking about it, and I like kind of the phrase soaking in it. Just soaking in the word, being fully engulfed in the word. That's a huge commitment. That's a time commitment. But it's one that needs to be made because that's what God expects. He expects his people to know his word. He expects his people to meditate on it. He expects his people to find joy in his Bible, in his word. And so how does that work? What's the process of going through that? Well, I think that there are two different kinds of study. And I think that we can kind of break it down. And this isn't anything groundbreaking. This isn't anything you probably haven't heard before, but it'll get us where we need to go this morning. The two different kinds of study, I think first there's academic study, academic Bible study. And this is kind of the deep study stuff, right? This is knowing the facts, knowing the names, knowing the languages, knowing the historical context, being able to quote scriptures, that the academic side of it, which is important. And then there's also the devotional study, the application. The Christian living, practical Christian living. The question, what does this mean for me in studying the Bible? Now, if I were to ask you, which of these types of study is more important? What would you say? Let's take a vote. Is academic study more important? Is devotional study more important? Okay, yeah. A lot of people say that. But I'm not so sure. We think that the practical side of study is more important, and there is a lot of value in the devotional practical side of study, but I think that the Bible is pretty clear that we need both. We need both types of study. Let me give you an example. In Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22 is the story of Abraham offering his son Isaac because the Lord told him to. And we read that story, and we get a lot of devotional application from that. There's this man of God, this man of faith, who the Lord requires him to go and sacrifice his son. It's a story of self-sacrifice. And it shows us, wow, if Abraham had the faith in God to go and sacrifice his own son, what do I need to sacrifice in my life to be pleasing to God? And that's a wonderful story. And not only that, it foreshadows the sacrifice of Jesus. That's a lot of powerful information. But how much more valuable is that story when you start to realize all of the academic parts of that story? When you realize in verse 3 of Genesis 22 that Abraham rose early in the morning to go and do what God told him to do. He didn't wait, he did it immediately. When you realize in verse 4 that it took him 3 days to travel with his son that he was going to kill, 3 days traveling with his son to go and offer him to the Lord. When you flip back to chapter 5 or 17, whenever Isaac is promised to Abraham, and you get to chapter 21 and you realize how long Abraham waited, the amount of years that Abraham waited for this son of promise, and how old Abraham was. When you add all of the academic information, all of the little pieces, how much more powerful does the devotional side of that become? And all kinds of other examples in the Bible are shown by that. Academic study and devotional study, they play off of each other. The academic study is related to the devotion, and the devotion is bolstered by the academic. We need both. And not to have both really kind of impedes the things that we can do in our lives and the things that we can understand from the Bible. If you try to take Bible study from just one of these perspectives, if you're solely academic, and I've met people like this, I'm sure you have, that they know the Bible. They've read the Bible, and it's a cool book. They can probably memorize a lot of things in it. They know the order of the books. They know all of the facts. They know the stories. But that's what it is. It's just another book. Well, what value is that if you're solely just an academic student? James chapter 2, even the demons believe and tremble. You can know the facts, but what does that do for you? Or if you take it from the other side and you're just solely devotional, you're just looking at the applications, you don't know any of the facts at all, but you know the principles. How are you ever going to make a case for the hope that is in you? How are you going to defend the Word of God whenever false doctrine comes out and it seems like it's holding some weight because you read the passages and you see it does kind of look like that Paul is saying that you don't have to be baptized to be saved?
How will you ever disprove that if you don't know the context, if you don't know the applications, if you don't know who the audience is, if you don't know the history behind it? We need both as Christians. And so that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of devotion in the kinds of studies. And what it takes is a lot of diligence. It takes diligence in study. And so what we're doing whenever we study the Bible is really we're fighting against the tyranny of convenience. Because studying the Bible is hard for people. It's much more convenient to not study the Bible, isn't it? It's much more convenient to just come to church and let someone else study the Bible for you and tell you what you need to hear. It's much more convenient to just listen to a podcast that you really enjoy and learn what you need to know. It's much more convenient sometimes even to read a book about the Bible and not read the Bible itself. Sometimes it's just more convenient. But there's no value in that. And that takes us back kind of to where we started this morning with the hobbies, right? It's much more convenient to just go to Giant and pick up some fish rather than go fishing for hours. But you don't have the satisfaction of going and getting a fish from Giant as you do sitting there and catching it yourself. You can listen to somebody study the Bible for you, and you won't get what you really need to get out of it, putting the work into it yourself. Psalm 119 is, I think, a good example of this when you step back and look at the context. In Psalm 119, we're actually not going to read that, but Psalm 119, I'm sure you all know, going through your study with Stephen not too long ago, that it's an acrostic poem. And what that means is somebody along in history, a Hebrew, decided to take the Hebrew alphabet and write a hymn about the Word of God. And that psalm, it's a gigantic psalm. You can read it and see it. It takes up a huge portion of the book of Psalms. There's pages and pages of just this one hymn. Somebody decided that they loved the law of the Lord so much that they were going to take every word or every letter in their alphabet and write a hymn themed about the Word of God. That took time. That took devotion. That took diligence to do that. Have we done things like that ourselves with the Word of God? Because when you read Psalm 119, you see a person there who is really loving the Word of God, who loves the law of the Lord so much that he's going to take time out of his day to write this long hymn talking about it. It takes diligence to do that. It wasn't an easy thing for him to go and do that, but it was involved. And that's because we understand that principle, being involved in hobbies. It's not about the end goal. It's about being involved in the process. Have you been involved in the process in your Bible study? Or have you just been going for the end goal, running down to Giant and getting the fish, running to church and getting the sermon, getting the Bible class? Or are you involved in the process? I think we need to be diligent in that. The second thing that's kind of goes with being diligent in our studies is making sure that our good intentions, or we go beyond our good intentions. There's a big difference between good intentions and good behavior, and I know you all know that. We can intend to study the Bible all day. What good does that do? In James chapter 1 and verse 22, we'll read that really quick, but I know you all are familiar with it, but it'll be good for us to actually see it with our eyes. Turn over to James 1 verse 22. It's a simple phrase, but so many times Christians fall short of this command. James 1 verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Around this time of year, we've already kind of said people make a lot of decisions and have good intentions of going and doing something this next upcoming year. And kind of the running joke is, if you can make it past January, you've done a really good job with your New Year's resolutions. The good intentions fall short a lot of times. Let's not be people who are intending to study the Word of God, but just study the Word of God. Just read it. Just go and do it. Don't just be hearers of the Word. Be doers also. And then third and finally in this idea of diligence in our study is diligent study is necessary. And we need to know that. It's necessary to understand the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul makes this really clear. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given me to you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insights into the mystery of Christ, which has been made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." It's necessary to diligently study the Word of God, because as the Apostle Paul said, the mysteries that you want to know about God and about Christ and about life, they're here. They're in this book. A lot of Christians that I've talked to that struggle with things in their life, after talking with them more and more, a common theme of Christians who are struggling a lot with something is that they're not reading their Bible very much. And you wonder, why am I struggling so much in my life? Why is life so hard? Why are people persecuting me so much? Why is it so difficult to stay on the right path? All of those answers are in the Bible. Every answer to those questions are in the Bible. Paul says that. Other writers say that. God himself says that. God is not hiding from us. God's not hiding his will from us. God's not hiding any answers from us. He's revealed it all right here. And so we need to study it. We need to read it and understand it more. And so what are some practical ways that we can do that? Because it is hard, as we've said before. It's difficult. Christians struggle with this idea. And so I have just a couple of quick things to consider this morning. First, obviously, if you want to study the Bible, read the Bible. Really basic, really easy, but just open it up and read it. And commit to reading it. Be persistent in that. Second, take the time to read or think about what you read. Meditate on that. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, one of the only laws that is given to the king of Israel whenever God is giving his laws for the ruler of his people, he tells him that the king needs to read the law, write the law, and then read it every day. Meditate on it. Saturate yourself with it. Think about it. Argue with yourself sometimes. And this will seem kind of weird at first, but make a case against yourself. Make a case for yourself. Go through the process of actually thinking about what you're reading. Think about different questions that come up in your conversations in day-to-day life. Think about who God is, what his love actually is, and answer those questions from the Bible. You know, it's kind of comparable. This point is kind of comparable to a cold day. You go out and you get cold, and you have that coldness kind of to the bone. You all know what I'm talking about, where you just feel every ounce of you is cold. And you walk inside, and there's a fire inside. And you walk past the fire, and you're still cold. You don't stop by the fire, you just walk past it. You feel the warmth a little bit, but you keep going. And you wonder, why am I still cold? Well, it's because you didn't sit down next to the fire and let the warmth actually get into you. That's the same thing that happens with Bible study. People read the Bible and they feel the warmth, they see the truth, they get it, and then they think, why don't I have more? Did you sit down and get more? Did you saturate yourself with it? Did you think about it more? You don't get warm immediately from sitting by the fire, and you don't get all of the knowledge and all of the insight that you need immediately from reading the Bible once. Or reading, skimming over something once. Read it over and over. Saturate yourself with it. Make it a part of your life. Number three, and I think this is important. Before you ask the question, the devotional question, what does this mean for me? Ask, what does this mean? Because that's where a lot of false doctrine comes from, right? You read something, you think, what does that mean for me? When the author isn't really writing to you directly. Paul didn't write Romans to Jonathan. He wrote Romans to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. And so I need to understand that. I need to understand the principles of what Paul is saying, or what Peter is saying, or what Jesus himself said in his teachings, who he was talking to, why he said that, and then I can ask, what does that mean for me? So ask, what does this passage mean before? What does it mean for me? Number four, be active in your study. I think that this is pretty important. One thing that I like to do is read out loud.
because in that way, my mom actually told me to do this. In that way, when you're reading the Bible out loud, you're getting the Bible twice in one sitting. You're seeing it with your eyes, and then you're hearing it also. And so you learn better with that. Write the Bible. Write down scriptures as you're going through it. Be active in that. Be involved in it, because it's easy. I'm a speed reader. I'll admit that to you all. I'm a speed reader. And so what that means is I pick out random words that are in sentences and kind of form the sentence in my mind so that I can read more quickly. And I found myself doing that in Bible study, and that just doesn't work very well. We need to understand the entirety of the Bible. And so write it down. Slow down. Take your time reading it, and be involved in your study. Then be persistent in your study with that. There are going to come some days where you don't want to study, where you don't want to read the Bible. Do it anyway. God says that He wants you to do it. We need to read the Bible to understand the will of God, and so do it anyway. And it's very easy, it's simple to make that decision to just wake up in the morning, wake up 5 or 10 minutes earlier, wake up 30 minutes earlier, and read some of the Bible before you start your day. It's going to take sacrifice, but it's worth it. And so do it. Be persistent in that. Then number 6, and I think that this is important, stay humble in your study. Hear what the Word actually has to say for you. Whenever we're reading the Bible, it's important that we study the Bible and not that we study a system of beliefs that we've become accustomed to. Now, I hope that the system of beliefs that you've become accustomed to is in the Bible. And I think that a lot of them probably should be. But if there's one that's not, change. And if there's one that's there and you're not doing it, start doing it. But study the Bible first, not what the church does, not what somebody that you respect really does, or somebody that you think has got it figured out, what they say. Find it in the Bible and have the passage ready to prove why you believe something. And stay humble in that. If you study the Bible and you've never been challenged, and you've never been under the spotlight, and you've never found a hope that you've never had before, and you've never been changed before by reading the Bible, then you're studying the Bible wrong. The Bible is supposed to change us. It's supposed to confront us. It's supposed to step on our toes. It's supposed to make us better. And so stay humble in that. Realize that the Holy Spirit has revealed God's Word to you, and that it's right here in this book, and what it says is the final say. And so stay humble in that. And then one more that came to me that I don't have up on the screen, number 7, is it was actually told to me by Gary Fisher and a group of other people this weekend. When studying the Bible, study the things that you know the least. I think that's a good idea. Christians today, and a lot of people in this room, if I were to ask you, a lot of people in this room, to tell me about the man in the chariot, a lot of you all probably know what I'm talking about, and you could tell me about that story. If I got a little bit more specific and I said, tell me about the man in the chariot in the book of Acts, there's more smiles. People know who that is. You could probably tell me the ethnicity of that man. You could tell me the road that that man was on. You could tell me the chapter of the Bible that that man was studying from. You could tell me all about that man. And that's great, and that's wonderful, and that's a wonderful story. It's in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch who was taught the gospel. But if I were to ask you to tell me about the 11th horn that uprooted the 3 other horns, could you tell me about that? There's not a whole lot of knowledge. Maybe a few of you could, and that's great. And the only reason why I know about the 11th horn, not to toot my own horn, play on words there. The only reason why I know about the 11th horn is because Gary Fisher showed me about the 11th horn in Daniel this past weekend. The entire Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for teaching, and for training in righteousness so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of the Bible is valuable. But a lot of times Christians become specialists in one area, right? We know Acts really, really well. We know the Gospels really, really well. We know some of the letters that were written, but we stay away from Revelation. We stay away from Lamentations. We stay away from Leviticus. We don't like those kinds of books. But still the Word of God. Read things that you're not familiar with and become an expert in the Bible and not an expert in one section of the Bible. And then one, I think, final application. in this whole idea
is that Bible study is going to take prayer. Prayer is an integral part of Bible study. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So there's the word of God. There's the Bible. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth and boldly proclaiming the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. He pairs the word of God with praying at all times in Ephesians. And so if you want a direct application as it relates to this church and as it relates to you with Bible study, I'll give you one. My job here, and you all are aware of this, my job here is as a preacher is to help us all and help myself and help you all learn the word of God and grow in our faith and in our knowledge of God. That's a primary goal here. And so a direct application for our Bible study as a group here is pray for me. Go home this afternoon or before you leave the parking lot today and pray for me that will happen, that we'll know the word of God, that we'll know the truth, that we'll find God's will for us, and that we'll do it, and that we'll become better Christians. That's an easy way to start our Bible study as a group here. Pray for me and pray for yourselves. There are a lot of different ways that prayer can be applied to Bible study. Praying through the Psalms is an excellent exercise. If you've never done that, just pray through the Psalms. That's a good way to do that. But use prayer as the starting point to get into a Bible study habit, a good Bible study habit. Pray that God will give you a humble heart, that he will reveal his word to you, that he will help you to stay diligent in your studies, and that he'll help me, and that he'll help Scott, and that he'll help the elders that we have here to help us all as a group to know God better. Thank you all for your attention this morning. Bible study is important. And it's important because of what we find in the Bible. What we find in the Bible is that there is a God, and that God loves us, and that he made the world, that he loves the people that he made, and that he wants all of us to be saved. But there is a problem. The problem a lot of times is us. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But God, in Romans 5, while we were still enemies of him, sent his son to die for us. You find that in the Bible. It's the most wonderful story that's ever been told in history. And so if you need to become a Christian this morning, if you need to be buried into the death of Jesus Christ, or maybe you have done that and you've fallen short, you've committed sin in your life and you need to repent of that in a public way, I would love to talk with you about that. I'd love to open the Word of God and to help you know God more. So if you need to do that this morning, if you need the help of this congregation, please come forward now while we stand and sing.